where it's hard to find. You get a dozen for a dime. It's magic. They fry, a song begins. They roast and I hear violins. It's magic.
A little later in this program, in our 10 o'clock hour, we talk about dealing with pests, one of which are rabbits. How do you keep rabbits out of 800 acres of carrots?
The answer is you don't. If they want to get in there, they get in there. But we don't do anything to exclude them. We actually have some fairly strict food safety parameters that we have to follow. And so our harvest crews are trained that if they see an area in the field that's been disturbed by rabbits, coyotes, any of the other things that are out there in the rural areas, they don't harvest that area. We skip around it. And then we have some inspection areas as it goes through the packing plant that if something like that does come in inadvertently, then we're able to shut down. But in the few times that happens, then we have to clean everything out of the plant because we can't have any kind of contamination, and wash it down and then start back up again. But the good news is that there's not that many rabbits, so the 1,000 acres of carrots or whatever, they don't make much of a dent in that.
Now, how many carrots will you get per acre?
So we plant two different types. We plant for what we call cello carrots, which is the whole carrot that you buy in a cellophane bag. That's where it gets its name. We plant that at about 500,000 to 600,000 seeds per acre, and on a good field, that will make a yield after about 180 days in the ground of approximately 35,000 to 40,000 pounds packed out that we sell to the acre of carrots. Now, then we also plant. Sorry, go ahead.
35,000 to 40,000 pounds
per acre,
and a carrot. It probably takes 3 or 4 carrots to weigh a pound.
1 pound bag is between 4 to 6 carrots. Yeah.
How big is this machine again? You said you'd have to see it to believe
it's
it.
Huge.
I need to come see this.
It's huge, yeah.
You could hire Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
He'd love it there.
Then we also grow different varieties and different populations for baby carrots. And we want those to be long and slender because then we cut those into the pieces and peel them. We plant 1.5 million seeds to the acre there, same 160 to 180 days. We pack out or utilize less pounds per acre because you're peeling it and cutting it, so you have some loss. But we're seeing 20 to 25,000 pounds to the acre of packed out or utilized product.
And all that loss, I mean, you still repurpose that, recycle it, compost it.
Yeah, yeah. We either sell it. Our preferred course is to sell it to another carrot producer that's over in California. He has a value-added program where he makes juice, he makes dehydrated carrot powder. So if he utilizes it, that's our highest and best use for it. We also then sell it to local dairies, and they feed it to cows. So it doesn't go to waste.
So we're eating a lot of carrots all over the country, thanks to the Russos.
Yes.
Including the cows,
yeah.
If you have to sell it
yeah.
there.
No orange milk.
No orange milk, right.
You had mentioned something just about the trucking industry and how it relates to farming and the weather that's going on in the Gulf and along the East Coast. And what did you say, a truck into?
So it's just with the government mandating the electronic data logging for over-the-road truckers, it's constricted the amount of units that are available. That and the tough conditions with the terrible winter they're having back on the East Coast, trucking rates have gone up dramatically. A truck to Boston this time of year or New York would normally be $3,000 to $4,000 a load, and we're having to pay as high as $11,000 to $12,000 a load to get it back to Boston. So, depending on a commodity, most of our carrots stay, if not local, at least regional. But then some of our other commodities, the bulk of that goes back to the East Coast to some established customers back there.
Man, 13. Yeah. So if they're having a Farm Bureau segment in New York right now, they're not talking about prices down 6.5%.
No, probably not there. It is regional. The other reason why you often see the fluctuations you do, and a lot of times the prices being down, is because we have one of the most competitive grocery markets in the country. That's from our grocer association telling us that. And so because of that, you and I, in our pocketbooks, it's going to be good. But the competitive market makes it certainly challenging for our grocery stores also.
I never really thought about that because yes. We do have Safeway.
You got them all.
Bash's.
We do. Yeah.
Albertsons, Fry's, Sprouts, Whole Foods. And you go back to Louisiana, you got Piggly Wiggly's or Kroger's. Maybe a Market Basket in the small, right. Real small markets.
Right.
So, interesting.
Well, think about it. Walmart wasn't even hardly in the grocery part of the business.
I forgot Walmart.
10, 15 years ago. And they're one of our bigger customers now, is Walmart. And a good customer. They buy a ton of things. Costco. A lot of our watermelons, all those aforementioned outlets take our watermelons, but Costco just moves an ocean of watermelons. So it is an incredibly competitive market, which is good, frankly, for me as a producer and also for us as consumers.
And really, you can say that you satisfy the local market, the regional market, and the national market mm-hmm. because yeah. you're selling into some of our local, like Bash's. We call them the local grocer.
Yeah.
And you also, I don't know if you do now, but you guys used to have a farm stand.
We run a little farmer's market out at okay. our cooler on the west side at Sayreville and Olive in the month of June. That's where we pack our watermelons. But we bring sweet corn over there, and we offer sweet corn and watermelons. And then my grower likes to grow some exotic things. So we have some bell peppers. We have chilies. We'll roast the chilies for people. Have tomatoes that we get from like McClendon. So yeah, we just have a little thing. It's not a focus, but it's just kind of something fun to do.